Hi, and welcome to The City and the Sacred, a podcast where we talk about the best ways to live out our faith as we live our lives here in New York City. This week, we have Tim Black, Tucker Miller, and myself, David Duckley, digging into our studies of the Book of James.
All right. Welcome to The City and the Sacred. I am Tucker Miller. We also have Tim Black and David Duckley here. We're going to continue our deep dive into James. Last week, we went over James 1:1-4. Solid four verses.
Yeah,
it might take us a while to get through James, but we're gonna try to get this rolling. Tim, you want to lead us into the next section of the study?
Yeah, happy to. It's I guess we should probably read the passage first, and then we'll dive in and ask some questions on it. So if you remember from last week, last time we were together, we spoke about trials and tribulations, testing, and how that impacts us. And the goal is that through it all, number one, we have joy. And we talked about how difficult that can be, but it's got to come from God's Spirit. And then the second thing is to let this produce steadfastness in us, to help us become steadfast in our faith. And it was a long discussion. If you've got a chance and haven't heard it yet, that's the first episode. But today we're talking about wisdom. So let me dive into that by reading the passage in James chapter 1, verses 5-8. So it's, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's double-minded, unstable in all his ways. So if we look at that, James, and as we work through this book, it's just pretty hard-hitting in the things that he's dealing with. And it seems like he just moves from topic to topic. And today, his topic in this section is on faith. But faith to ask for things from God. So it's faith to ask for wisdom. Because we know God's generous and that he'll give it to us. So I don't know, what are some things that we need to ask for as we're wandering around in life today?
Some things we need to ask for.
I mean, if you want faith, right? You want to ask for faith. What do you need faith for?
I think just getting through the day can sometimes be enough of a challenge. I don't know. I tend to be not the most optimistic person in the world, but I think sometimes I need faith just to have a reason to keep sort of stepping, you know. But I relate a lot with Paul when he talks about to live is Christ, to die is gain. He's talking about it is a pleasure to serve and to be here for, you know, the Lord's purposes and to be here to, you know, live out whatever God has me here for. But I would so much rather just be there and have things, you know, things in life are hard and life is painful and life is difficult. And yeah, most of the time when I pray asking God for help with, you know, being more faithful, it's about, yeah, just having a little bit more motivation to just keep going forward, you know?
Yeah, I think, as you're saying, the day-to-day, I mean, especially here, we're in New York City, so the day-to-day is like, you see chaos happening all the time. I mean, this takes a faith journey just to get from one location to the next. You know, kind of like trusting that God will just provide and things. I think that's another part, provision. You know, there's so many people that's dealing with so many things right now. So, hey, I'm going to trust that the Lord is going to provide for what we need, whether it could be food, shelter, any of that aspects, the essentials rather of life to survive, at least in this world, you know, that's just like trusting that things will work out. Yeah. I think it's just a day-to-day thing.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I mean, you guys have nailed it. And I think the faith is what causes us then to step into asking God for these different things, right? We have faith that he's going to provide. So we ask for wisdom. And he says, look, ask for wisdom. I'm going to give it to you generously. And if you guys, I mean, we've talked about this passage a little bit, and we've looked at it as a bridge. So James, remember, is talking to a Hebrew audience for the most part. They're the Hebrews that have been scattered around the known world, but they're in Jerusalem at this point, and he's speaking to them. They're part of the diaspora. And so this ends up being like wisdom literature. This is like the New Testament Proverbs in a lot of ways. So James steps into all these different situations, and he's just saying, look, this is our heritage as Jews, but let's now know that we have Jesus Christ. And it changes some of the ways we engage with these things. So if you look at wisdom, it was called Sophia in the Old Testament, and it just works its way from the wisdom literature of these Old Testament scriptures into this passage. And so what James is saying is, if you lack wisdom, if you're not capable of moving through what's in front of you, just ask God. He's generous, you know, and I think we sometimes think of God as being like this miser who's just like very stingy in how he doles out his things. But that's not a biblical way to consider God. That's not how he's portrayed. He wants to generously give us what we need. So we can ask God, and he'll provide for us. But this ask has to come from a place of faith.
Yeah, I always find it a little intimidating to ask God for things like wisdom, because I, you know, it's one of the best prayers you can pray is to ask God for wisdom, to know how to handle things, know how to move forward, know how to see the world through his eyes rather than through our own eyes. But at the same time, I feel like any time I've asked for, you know, I've asked God for patience, or I've asked God for wisdom, or I've asked God for understanding, then he tends to teach me the hard way, you know? It's like, I don't learn things the easy way just by being told. So he knows that, like, if I ask for patience, he's going to put me in a situation that just requires me to hit my head against a wall waiting for something, or to be in a situation where I could just jump the gun, but I can tell that he just needs me to just hold off. And it's, I always find that challenging, but it is so important to turn to God in those moments when he, you know, especially when you know, like, I really just, I'm not ready for this situation that's in front of me, you know?
Yeah, that's good insight.
I think another challenge is, it's always like you have wisdom and this discernment, where there's a lot of people which can sometimes lead to their own selves and some things where it's like, oh, I have some discernment. Like, God gives discernment as well. And I feel like there's that time where people are like, oh, well, this is a discernment decision versus a ask Jesus wisdom decision. So I'll ask a question back, if you don't mind, where it's like, where does that draw that line for discernment and wisdom, where people might be thinking, which is which? When do I say, all right, like, for instance, if you're driving, we know if we see a red light, discernment, we don't got to pray, Lord, should I stop at this red light? We understand that. But then there's some other things that may be more complex. So I'll ask, like, what is that fine line that's being drawn with discernment and wisdom?
Good question. You're right. We do have sense, right? God's created us with the ability to think through things in a way that hopefully keeps us safe and, you know, keeps us healthy and all those kinds of things. I think part of this is being in this mindset where we're praying without ceasing, which doesn't mean we've got our eyes closed as we wander through life, but it's like we're always in communication with God. God, you know, help me process this. Sometimes it's going to be just going through the motions and doing what you know how to do. And then sometimes if you take it to him and just say, I'm not really sure how to deal with this person, you know, what does this situation need? Give me wisdom, give me discernment into how to speak in a way that's honoring to you in this situation, or help me control my anger right now, you know, or help me do whatever, you know. And God, give me wisdom. I don't, you know exactly what to do here. And it says he'll provide. It's interesting. I think this is kind of basic theology for us in some ways. God's reminding us through James what he's like. And it's like he wants to meet us in an open-handed way. And if we think around how Jesus prayed in Matthew 7, he talks about how generous God is. It says in verse 11, if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? It's pretty amazing. Hey, so James is reminding us a few things about God. First, that he's generous in what he gives us. He's not a miser sitting up there trying to withhold things from us that we would like to have. He knows what's best for us, and he gives that to us. And delights to lavish his good gifts on us. Picture God is just like rolling these things toward us more than we can handle because he just wants to provide. It's also that wisdom is available to everybody who asks. He doesn't just give it to his few special favorites, you know? He'll give it to all of us. This passage is pretty clear. We just have to ask him. And then there's no blame. So God's not going to remind us how badly we messed up or that we should know what to do by now because he's, you know, been working with us and, you know, but that's not him at all. He's responding in love and in grace.
Yeah, I think you brought up a great point as saying that his, you know, you think about the generosity of Jesus. I was thinking about that part in that song, Jireh, where it's like, if he dresses the lilies of beauty, how much more will he clothe us, right? And when you think about the generosity, as you said, it's not just for everyone. God has created us all. You know, one thing, like, it's weird that we know that we're going to breathe, that we're going to have oxygen in our system without seeing it. So we're trusting that, you know, God is giving us the air to breathe so we can provide. And I think for us, it's a good way to think of unbelievers that they can also ask God for wisdom. It's that relationship. And that can open up a great doorway for us to reach those people who are wondering, how do I get wisdom? Where they're struggling for, like, should I move somewhere? Should I get a job somewhere? Should I date this person? Should I, you know, be a good neighbor? And some people don't know because they don't have that relationship. But for us, because we know how gracious he's been to us by giving us wisdom in the past from past experience, I feel like it's a great way for we could say, you know, how about we ask God about wisdom? I know it's not your thing, but can I pray with you and ask him for wisdom? Because he's going to give it if we ask him. We just have to trust and have faith. And that can open so much doorways to bring people to Christ that may say, why would you ask God for wisdom? You know, can he just give it to us? And the answer is yes. We've seen it multiple times. We've seen through scripture throughout how people just needed some wisdom and they go to him, they pray. And I think that's a great way, as you brought it up, like, it's for everyone. It's generous that our God is so, like, when you would think in society, especially today, where people are like, nah, this is only for my people, my family, my kids, this is only for the people in my club and stuff. But God is like, my love is for all, you know, and I have this generosity of wisdom that is for all. If you just come to me and trust in me and know that if you ask, it can be given to you. So I think that's a great point that you have brought up there.
Ah, thanks. Look, I think we end up learning as we talk through scriptures together, which is quite helpful too. So I think the question maybe that's important for us to think about is find some different ways that God's been lavish to you. You know, I think for all of us, it's good to get those reminders of God's generosity for us. You know, I think that's encouraging for one thing. It's encourages us to pray more, you know, just to keep in touch with God and watch him provide. It also helps us to step into other people's lives. If we're praying for somebody, maybe for them to have wisdom as well. When we see God provide, it's encouraging for us and for them, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I think definitely it can be both ways. Some of the best ways to, you know, have that drive to pray for those moments can be because you see the results of, like, past prayer. Like, I think about in my life, like, sort of early on in taking my faith seriously, I prayed so much more to rely on him. And that resulted in a lot of situations where I was actually like financially struggling and like all of these things. And I was like, God, why are you putting me? But at the same time, I was praying all that I would be more reliant on him and more trusting in him and like that I would understand him better. And, you know, looking back on that, like in the middle of all that, it was so stressful and I was, you know, full of anxiety and had no idea what to do and was just waiting for like whatever God was going to put in front of me so that I could just run. Cause I was like, I need to, I can't stand still while I just keep getting hammered. Like, I needed God to put my path in front of me, which he eventually did. But in the middle of that, it was so stressful, but I just kept praying that like, God, like, I know you're trustworthy. Like you say, you're trustworthy. You say, I need to rely on you. Just help me to do that. Help me to like take this anxiety away, take all of this. And at the time he didn't really take it away. But then once he did put the path in front of me and I was able to walk forward and he carried me through some of these really difficult situations in ways that I should not have been able to walk out of them that easy. It's like, then after that, when things start to get hard or when things start to get confusing or when stuff starts to come up that normally would have caused me anxiety, I start to just take a breath and just be like, look, I know firsthand that my God is trustworthy, that I can rely on him. And I still pray that he continues to make me rely on him more and continues to fill me with hope and with peace in his trustworthiness and in, you know, give me the faith to maintain that level of trust in him. But it makes it so much easier. You know, if anything comes up, it's, you know, before I would have been freaking out. I would have been praying. I would have been calling my dad being like, what the heck do I do? And now I still call my dad and be like, hey, so this is the situation. So pray for me. But I don't freak out. I'm like, I know God's got an intention for this. And it's like, it's all a result of those prayers of like God putting things in front of me that taught me the things. And yeah, God just holding my heart through all of that so I didn't lose my mind.
And you find his timing's just not your timing anyway, right?
Yeah.
Which is okay, but it just makes it a little tougher.
Yeah, you brought something where it's just like, it didn't happen and then there. You know, you think about millennials, Gen Z's, alpha, beta's coming up for all those people that's about to have kids, right? And when you think about like the struggles that we go through, it's about instant gratification. You know what I mean? You look at Instagram, you look at Twitter, TikTok, all these things. People want instant likes based upon things that they're doing. And I think sometimes when we feel that for people, why they don't feel God is generous is because it's not an instant gratification. It's not like, oh, I asked for wisdom about, I don't know, about, you know, going to the moon and it didn't come in right now. It didn't say, yes, go to the moon, open up the doors. No, it came somewhere else. And, you know, it's, I feel that that's why sometimes people are saying God is not as generous as you're saying. It's a journey process. But I think I love how James takes this journey with us where it's like, you know, we talked about joys and trials. And through those trials, it's like we have to ask for wisdom of what do we do? How do we order our steps, Lord? What is next for us? Lord, I'm going through a struggle with this and that. You remind me of the situation when I had stopped working. I tell the story out to the group where I was just like, I'm trying to get this car and I just needed it because I need it for work. And I remember I had no pay stubs. I had no money at the time. It was like probably like this. And I'm like, on paper, this is not making any sense. I had a bunch of my friends who were like, you're just making the dumbest decision, you know? And I prayed away. I sat down. I was like, you know, Lord, if it's for your will to be done. And I said, Lord, you know, as you provide for me, I'm going to help others. If I can, you know, help to use this vehicle to do some things. Lo and behold, like things worked out. You know what I mean? And it didn't look like that. I remember because I was going up to, it was New Year's. So I was going up to Buffalo with some friends to celebrate New Year's. And I'm way back. I'm like, just going to return this car and then figure out life and start from scratch. You know what I mean? And it's just like, it just worked out the day before. Like legit, I'm walking in there, going to the people, them like, hey, this is what's happening. They're looking at my credit like, this is what's not happening. But somehow it just all worked out. You know what I mean? We look at this fast forward, you know, it's just like, I look back at that and it's those little situations where it's like, Lord, you just, you know, we sat down, have that conversation with him and just trust and things just work out. And, you know, even when we, even as much as we're asking, you still like, it ain't working out. But God just always makes things to, you know, on his timing. And I think it's back to that instant gratification that, we're just not used to not, if it's not instant, we don't want it. You know what I mean? I mean, look, they got TV dinners now. Throw it in the microwave in 2 minutes, you're done and you're ready to go. And I think that's just where, that's where sometimes the people are at a struggle point too, where God, I'm asking you for wisdom, but I need it now. You know, so it's always that point of having that faith, as you were saying, and knowing now, fast forward, like, yeah, you still call your dad, you still are like, yeah, this and that, but it's just like, yeah, I already know what God has done with me, and it's on his time. I got to trust him. But I think that's a huge problem in the young adult community, in my point, where how do we get from that instant gratification, which society shows us, that we know that, listen, it's not about what society is, it's about what God is doing, because he has our best interests at all times.
Yeah, and I feel like, you were talking about younger generations, I feel like that's, it's so important for younger generations to hear that, because I feel like, you know, we can talk about how faithful, you know, how trustworthy God is because we've gone through stuff, but younger generations are only just starting to hit these walls. And I feel like sometimes they're expecting God to move in big ways, because sometimes he does. People pray and they feel peace or love just wash over them and they immediately feel better about everything, or they have something, you know, the next day turns around and it's all okay. And it's like, I feel some younger generations are waiting and like sort of expecting like, okay, God, you're going to do something for me, right? Like this, I need this now. And they're looking for that instant gratification. And I think it's so important to know that if you don't see that right away, that doesn't mean that God's not there with you, that he doesn't have a plan. It's like, he's still going to carry you through and he's still going to follow through on those prayers that you're asking him for. You know, a prayer doesn't always have to be an immediate yes. It's going to be his timing. It's going to be, he's going to follow that up and he's going to show you what you prayed for and how it got resolved. And
it might be a no.
The things that we pray for, if we're praying for the things that are on his heart, you know, if we're praying for his will, for his desire for the situation, then we're going to see it positively reinforced in a big way and it'll be cool. But if we're praying for something and in the middle of the situation, we think, this is what I need, and God, I just need you to do this for me. And then we get through the situation and we look back and we're like, man, I was praying for the totally wrong thing. And it's like, so in the moment, he's just going to say no. And it's like that, because that's not what's best for you. You know, it's God's looking for that understanding. He doesn't just want us to turn to him in trouble and say, hey God, this is what I need. And he can just like sign a check or something, or be like, check a box, being like, sure, whatever you say. It's like, he wants it to be a process of us trusting in him and learning how to pray and learning what to pray for and looking for the right, you know, solutions to problems and growing in that wisdom through all those trials and, you know, through all that trying to figure it out and most of the time getting it wrong. But
well, let me add a wrinkle to this discussion. All right. How about James 1 verses 6-8? It's an interesting passage. Let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that's driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose he'll receive anything from the Lord. He's double-minded, unstable in all his ways. So we understand God's generosity, right? But then we're confronted in the face by our humanness. And I think sometimes doubt is like the only thing we know for sure. You know, it's like you get in difficult situations and doubting is right there in front of you. So James paints a story of what it looks like to be driven and tossed by the wind. It's just, you can picture this boat. It's just going all over the place. It's bobbing and it's hitting troughs and it's moving and feels unstable. We don't have to worry about that if we ask without doubting. What's that process, though? How do we ask for wisdom without doubting? Do you guys understand what that would be like?
Yeah, I think just generally, like you said, like as people, that's so challenging to say, I want to pray for this and I need to have no doubt. You know, one of my favorite shows in the city right now is Hadestown, and it's about Orpheus and Eurydice, and he you know, does all of this stuff to, you know, get into Hades because his, you know, his girl is trapped in Hades and he's walking her out. And the one rule is that he has to walk 3 paces ahead of her and lead her out of Hades. And he's not allowed to turn around and make sure that she's following him. So he knows the way out and he knows that she cares about him and she wants to come back with him. But he, you know, he goes and it's like 3 steps from the exit. The doubt has been eating away from him all this way. He's like, what if I've just gotten all the way out and she didn't even follow? You know, it's eating him up inside. And just before they get out, he turns around to check that she's there and she has to go back because he turned around. And it's that story of humanity and our imperfection and our, like, we know even something that we know in our heart, like he knows that she loves him and he knows the rules and he, like, we are just so flawed in so many ways. And that just, you know, that just pops in my head when with that, with those verses, just because I feel like God often asks things of us that are sort of accomplishable to an extent. And because he wants to express his love and his mercy in those gaps where we inevitably fall short. So it's like we still want to pray, trying our best to trust and to stay focused and to stay sort of disciplined in that way. But it can be this wrestling, this struggling of, like, you know, settling our own hearts and then trying to pray and doing our best. And then in the end, praying that we know that God's will for us is going to be the best outcome. So we need to sort of step back and let go and say, it's not about what I'm asking for. It's not about, you know, I know that if I need more wisdom in this coming time, that you're going to provide me with the discernment and with the understanding of the situation to walk through. I know, you know, lean back on the things that don't require us to be like, well, but what if, but I don't know, you know, lean back on the things that strip away the doubt, like pray for his will to be done because we know it's going to be done, and pray that whatever is best for the situation is what's going to happen because we know that whatever is best for the situation is what's going to happen. Even if we get through the situation and on the other side, we're like, man, I still don't know. I don't see it. I can't hold that and see that that was the best thing. It's like, not our job, not my, you know, I like to say not my monkey, you know, it's, we're all in a circus. We all have jobs. We all have, you know, things we're handling, and that's not my monkey. I'm in the circus, but it's just not my job. It's not my crazy chaotic situation to handle. And we, you know, lean back on the things that we know to be true, the things that scripture tell us, the things that we have learned through our experiences, and that generates those prayers that are without doubt, because it's not an argument, it's not a question, it's not a, oh, but what if, but I don't know, like, how can I be sure? It's like, we can be sure on these things. If you know, I sometimes, the reason I struggle to pray is actually because I know his will is going to be done and that's going to be the best thing. So I have that mental struggle of being like, well, if I pray, I'm just going to pray for the wrong things and then I'm going to be confused and he's going to teach me something and that'll be great. But isn't it better to just let him do the job? And it's, you know, that struggle of like, why do we even present our desires and our things to the Lord if we know that he's just going to take care of us in ways that are going to blow us away anyway? So that's why praying sometimes in some seasons is a struggle for me, because I'm like, I don't want to seem like I'm not trusting him by praying for this, because that when I pray for something, sometimes it's because I feel uneasy and I'm asking him to help me in my, you know, help me in my unbelief. So it's like, I don't know. Yeah. When I think of praying without doubt, it just comes to those simple prayers, like the Lord's Prayer. Like, it just walks you through those things that are just so fundamentally true, that it's beautiful, and you can pray that with an easy, steadfast heart. And, you know, that prayer can sometimes be turn into a Sunday school thing where we start to turn our brains off and just say the words and just go through the motions. But even that prayer can be so beautiful if you just pour your heart into it and focus on what it's about it can really change things, you know. So.
Yeah. No, I feel you on that. It's a huge challenge. You know, like praying without doubt. And I mean, listen, at the end of the day, from my opinion, no matter how super Christian you are, we're always going to have some type of doubt. We're sinners. We're all flawed. And I think that's a great thing about having that constant relationship where we need Christ and we need Jesus. We need the Trinity for us to ask the Spirit to give us that knowledge, that sense of comfort, you know, and pray that the Son sacrificed all these things for us and God sent all them because of that so that we don't have that. But it is a difficult thing. I mean, we live in a worldly world where we doubt ourselves. You know what I mean? And we ourselves know our best selves, technically in theory, you understand? But we still doubt ourselves. And, you know, it's one of those things where I always think about, like, but there's certain things that we just don't have. We don't doubt. Like every time I wake up and get out of bed, I know that I could walk. Like I don't doubt myself in the morning. Like, am I going to fall? Am I going to stand? It's just undoubtedly that it's just going to happen. And it's interesting where I remember I had sprained my ankle and that was the first day I got out of bed and I just fell to the floor. I was like, what is this? You know, and that's I think what it will look like where it is like, we already know God's going to take care of it. Where you get out of the bed, you're walking to the bathroom or whatever you do in the morning. And that's what that looks like. It's just because it's just a normal, natural thing. But I think because of how this world is, because of the sin, because of the fall, that's a very hard challenge, as you're saying, where it's like, how can I pray? Like we pray, we have like back even in my story, like I know God would provide, but at that last hour I'm like, yeah, it's just not gonna work out, you know what I mean? And I think back to today, like, you know, because sometimes praying without doubt could be like, you know, am I only in here for my own personal gain? You know, I think about the show called Charmed, right? And they always about don't use your powers for personal gain because it'll mess things up. But then it's like, there's always that point, like, is this personal gain or am I helping society? I saw this episode recently, which is about crazy. And then you think about that with that relationship with Christ, where it's like, Lord, am I asking you for things that are, you know, of only my desires and not for yours, as you're saying, you know, where, and I think it's just back to trusting. And I think it is always going to be a difficult thing. You know, I mean, something I struggle with, Lord, I'm praying. And I'm like, is it working out? Is it not? What's happening here? Are you there? Were you listening? You know, all these things. And I think, and you know, I think that's fine. I don't think that's a challenge, you know, and I think that's why we even seek to Lord, like, Lord, maybe increase my faith. Lord, why is it that I'm not doubting that you can do these things? You know, like, Lord, what are you trying to open my eyes to now? Because it's always going to be a journey, you know, and the Lord is going to use us. There are times, and listen, it's going to be seasons where you're like, not down God at all. He took me through something. And then it's like, we knew he took us through something. But then next week we're like, Lord, can you get me through this? And it could be something even smaller than the thing he just took us through. It's just like how broken people are. You know, and I think that brokenness is where it all comes from. As the lady says this one thing, and I always say, you know, they always talk about brokenness, and I said, broken crayons still color. And I love that, says that still as broken as we are, we just still have to trust. And I think that's why it's so huge and why community is so big as well. You know, because we are going to have those times where we're just like, yeah, I'm praying for it, but I'm not trusting. But if we have a brother or a sister that's walking with us, and again, walking with us in, you know, in this journey, you could be like, you know what? David, I'm praying for you because I know God is going to deliver you through this. I know God is going to keep you through this. You know, I've seen how God just took me through the same thing you might be going through. Or even if they don't know what you're going through, I'm here for you. And I think when we're in that community, you know, we see where God uses others to strengthen that doubts that we have. You know what I mean? It could be a passage of scripture that they may bring to us. It could be a song, like listen to this song from this person that brings it to us. And that community basis is where God is using all parts of his children to come together for the greater of the kingdom. And I think that's where community is so important, because we're going to doubt. We are going to, you know, and trusting God is, you know, what is what we need to do. But we're sinners. We're broken people. And I love that about us, because that's why we need him all the time, because he's the only perfect one here. And we have to trust in the perfect one, the absolute God, because of how broken that we are each and every day.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like that you made a point that's super helpful of like leaning on your community in times of prayer, in times of need. Because sometimes I might be too anxious. I might be too fearful and have that doubt creeping in the back of my mind for something I'm praying for. But if I, you know, if I ask David, hey, can you pray for this for me? Can you, you know, I know you're going to pray with a steady heart because you're not in the middle of the situation. You're walking alongside, you're empathetic. You're, you know, you're weeping with those who weep, but in the long run, you're going to pray for what's best for me. You're going to pray for what's best for the kingdom in a place that's not affected by my desires or my, you know, what I want out of the situation or what I think is best. It's all going to be about, you know, let's turn to God and ask him for what he thinks is best for the situation and turn to him and ask for what's best for Tucker, for, you know, like, how do we walk that through? And I think leaning on your community and being open and vulnerable with each other so that you can pray for one another is super important.
Yeah. Like even back saying, like we started, I think Tim had said it where it's like, sometimes we have to pray wisdom for other people. You know what I mean? It's not always that selfish. Like, Lord, leave me wisdom. It could be like, Lord, give Tucker some wisdom. Give Tim, give David some wisdom in this situation, because the way he's set up right now, he ain't set up good. You know, God, you know how he is. You know what I'm saying? I think it is a good point of falling back, as you just said. So, yeah.
And the wisdom might come from, you know, somebody in your community too.
Mm.
That's sometimes how God's going to provide. He'll bring you to somebody that says, oh, let me carry you in this one. Let me just give you my experience, you know, and all of a sudden the light goes on and you're moving forward again. So God uses all of us and community, as you guys mentioned, it's a really good way to lean into each other and then see God working in our midst. So I think the other thing we have to remember is just because we go to God, it doesn't mean like he's going to dump the Solomon truck on us and we're going to all of a sudden have all this wisdom that we need and we'll feel wise and ready to go forward. I think if he, like we would all like to have him just like give us the next 5 years, right? And we see what's going to happen and we can kind of plot our lives that way, which then means we stop our relationship. Because we don't really need him to provide for us if he's dumped all that stuff on us and we're moving forward. So I think these glimpses of wisdom that we get from him in a consistent way, you know, we come to him, we say, Lord, help me sort through this. He provides wisdom through community, through his word, through his spirit. And it's this day by day, minute by minute walk that carries us forward. He's a good, good father. I mean, we've sung that song. He delights to provide what we need. So sometimes we're going to need wisdom, might be courage, we might need more faith. And he's more than willing to give that to us.
Yeah, I think I was having a discussion and me and Serena, as we were talking about this, one thing she had brought up, I wrote down, which is so powerful. She said, God is our safe space, you know? And when we think about that, I thought that was such a good way to normalize it, of how God is the space. You know how you have this, like people's home is a safe space for them. That's their stuff. They have their own rhythm. They put the things how they want it. And that's what God is for us. He is our safe space where we can go to him with our woes, our concerns, our needs, our supplies, our confessions, you know, our adoration, our thanksgiving. You think we can go to him all these things because he is that safe. He's at a point where he's loving, has mercy. You know, of course, we're all going to have to carry our own cross, you know, but it's still a judge-free zone where we're all safe there. And I love that she said that. Like, he's just our safe space for all those things that when we know we're lacking, we can go to him because he has it all. He has all the answers, you know, and I think that was always just something that I thought was a really good point that she had brought, that we just have to continue to trust in him during that point.
So I think sometimes like obeying God looks a lot like just living according to the manufacturer's instructions, right? He created us. He knows what's best for us. If we stay in relationship with him, he just continues to provide what we need, you know, through his spirit, through his word, through our community. And he gives us wisdom. So, like, as we kind of wrap up our discussion, It's probably, I mean, our context in the city is keeps us asking for wisdom. I think anybody's context, wherever they are, we all need wisdom. Maybe there are some things to think about as we kind of finish up this section of James. Is are there gaps in our display of wisdom that the world sees around us? And we don't have to go into a confession time here, but it's just something to ponder. You know, are there gaps that people might notice around me where maybe because I've not stayed in contact with the Lord through the day that I'm missing a few things? And then I think as we look around at people around us and we see people that say they're following Christ, are there ways that we should approach them if that doesn't line up with what we see? You know, I think it's important for us to help each other as we live life together, you know? And so it's nice for us to not only hold ourselves accountable, but, you know, as we are in community, to hold each other accountable too. Because we all just want to see God glorified in our space. So that's just another thing for us to think about. It's like, so how do we hold each other accountable? And how do we approach people that need wisdom? You know, if you see somebody it's like, maybe that's not the best way forward for you at this moment in your life. Maybe we in love, you know, that's the thing. We've got to do it in a way that loves somebody, not just trying to whack somebody. But in love, how do we approach people? What are some things, like David, Tucker, what are some things you guys do in situations when you've got some hard conversations? What does that look like? Because that's like wisdom applied, right? As you think about it.
I don't know. I think that I'm a fan of also where it's just like when you have to also know who you're stepping into these conversations with. And if there's no relationship, like there's people that want to just correct people, and there's no relationship at all.
That's,
you know,
true.
It's just really like, good. Oh, you know, in Titus 1 verse 8, you need to say like this, and I'm looking at the way you're living, and this is what you know. You know, I always think about how God is always just loving. You know, I think about, Lord knows I'm forgetting his name, when Peter walked on water, right? And he saw Jesus out there, and he had no doubts at one point, right? But then the winds came, the water started getting rocky. And even as though God is still correcting him and getting him his life together, he still did it in a loving manner, right? From how I read the scripture, right? Where he still grabs his hand and, hey, ye of little faith, like, you know, and I think that's kind of how we have to do this. We have to approach people in love. We have to have the empathy, you know, because at the end of the day, we're all struggling with something, some form, some nature. And sometimes a direct hostile approach is not what they need at the time. Sometimes it may take a while before we even address things that they're going through. You know, if I have an issue, and I'll say this because I'm not married, if I have an issue and I'm like cheating on my wife, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is not going to be like, you know what? It could be like, talk to me, David. Like, what you going through? You know, how's life going? Where's your mentality right now? Have you been praying? Sometimes it could be like somebody's making these shifts. You know what I mean? Where they're just more caught up in worldly stuff than they are with the Jesus stuff. And we won't know that if we just bash them, because that's going to draw them away. You know, and I think how we address the situation is one of the key things. Sometimes it's about praying, Lord, how do I even address this person? And sometimes it's on our heart to do it, and we just don't know how. And I think the best way of going in is always a relationship standpoint of compassion, understanding. And I think sometimes people are like, oh, well, if I just say nothing, I'm agreeing with it. No, we're just understanding where they're at the moment. The same way God looks at us at where we are, and understand, like I said earlier, we're all going to carry our own cross. But at the end of the day, God is going to look at us with love first. And I think we just need to emulate what he does and look at others with love first. And then from there, we're going to ask them to trust to be like him. And how can we take them through this journey that they're probably going to? And that's just in my thoughts, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think that's all good stuff. I think having hard conversations is, I mean, it's not called having
it's
easy
hard.
Conversations. Yeah, it's I think the biggest trick for me is making sure I don't say the wrong thing. That can usually be what holds me back the most. I don't want to go, you know, say someone's having a hard time and, you know, they need some comfort. I don't want to go to them and say, hey, God's not the one who's put this on your plate. Because it's like, well, God's in control. You know, we got to maintain, you know, so you got to be careful about what you say, because you don't want to lead someone down the first steps of a completely wrong direction. I feel like that's the only perspective that's really going to be helpful in difficult conversations, is less about, you know, I don't want to provide any wisdom that can be sourced back to me. Because then if I, you know, if even if I tell them something that is true, that is really good, if then the next week I turn around, they find out I'm sinning, I've been living in this difficult, you know, then they don't know if they can trust what I told them. Mm-hmm. But if I'm just leading them to scripture, if I'm just leading them to God, if I'm just leading them to, look, this is the truth that I have found and this is where I found it, but I also urge you to go and find your own sources outside of me for that, because I don't want other people's faith or other people's answers to be based on me. It needs to be on God or on scripture or on things that that cannot be shaken, you know, because you never want to put someone in that situation where my struggles become your struggles purely because somehow you're reliant on me now. You know, it's like you want to walk into there and make sure that it's on the good foundation. It's on the cornerstone. It's on Christ. It's on scripture. It's on the stuff that, yeah, can't be shaken.
Yeah, that's a good point you say, because there are some people that they're just waiting to correct someone. And then if they do change, it's like, oh, man, I spoke to them. I was the one that told them this. I told them they need to change. And then they changed. And that's like, no, God was just, because I think what you said was so powerful, where like, yeah, you can say something. And that person may say, Lord, help me to get clarity on this situation I'm going through. Right. Get somebody, give me the hard conversation. And then you're telling them you need to be like this. You need to do this. And not focusing on what God's will is, but how you think they should do. But then they start looking at you and they're like, God, I don't believe you now. You done send me somebody to send me this message. And this same person is doing something similar, maybe not the same exact thing that I'm doing. And now look at them. You know what I mean? And that's why sometimes people doubt. You know, I'm a big fan. Like, I don't get mad when people are saying people in churches are hypocrites. I don't. Like, I do. But it's also like, how do people carry them? Are people trying to be holier than thou, those things? And I think what you said is just so valid. We have to stand on what is true. We have to stand on God's words. We have to understand that it is not about what this church opinion is and what this pastor's opinion is. It's about what God's word is saying, what is the truth, and stand based upon that. And I think because if we do that, that's how you do have those hard conversations, standing on the truth, building relationships. So that was a really valid point.
Yeah. Well, similarly in any sort of area of the world, if you say something that makes someone change, then the whole way that they see the world is going to be affected by that, if they've taken it seriously enough to change something about themselves. So then if something comes up and they know you're no longer trustworthy, they're going to start to look at their worldview and be like, how much of this is affected by what that person told me? And it gets confusing and it gets scary. If you have someone who's coming to you and saying, look, you're in this situation, this is the answer, then even if it's a good answer, you have to ask them, like, okay, can you show me where you found that? Can you show me, can you lead me to a better foundation than just you? Because I wanna trust you. You know, if Tim tells me something, I know Tim. Tim's someone who I think of as really trustworthy, but I still wanna, you know, I wanna find how he got that information. Because in him showing me that, that also means next time, if Tim's not there to give me an answer, I know some good practices of where to look and where to find answers, that, you know, it's not just me being like, ah, Well, I wish Tim was here right now because I'd ask him this question and he could give me a really good answer. You know, it's people like to watch these sermons on YouTube and like to ask these questions of people. And they, you know, some people have pastors that they trust a little too much that they say like, well, I believe this because this person told me. And it's like, well, can you give me any other evidence? Because also as a third party person, when that stuff comes up, I'm like, I have no reference for whether that person who told you that is trustworthy at all. And based on the fact that I'm currently in disagreement with what you're saying they told you, currently they seem less than trustworthy. So it's like, you know, how do we, it's the teaching the man to fish kind of situation of like when someone, when you're having hard conversations with someone, you can give them fish to help them out, or you can sort of lead them to water and teach them how to fish a little bit and give them a little bit of extra help. Plus then it's not on, you know, if you said something wrong, then it's like, hey, I told you not to listen to what I say. I told you just go to these things. Yeah, and, you know,
I told you it was my opinion.
And yeah. It's like, look, it's not, I am flawed. Like I love to clarify if anyone's asking me for stuff, being like, look, I am the worst person to, when it comes to really knowing everything, understanding everything, I do not. So this is what little truth I have found and the direction I can point you to what I think is truth. But
yeah, listen, I'm like, I tell people all the time, like, I'm like, listen, I'm a broken individual. So listen, I don't know what you're going through in this, but what we can stick to is this is what it is. Cause everyone is always going through something. You know what I mean? I don't like, listen, I don't care what position you are, who you are. Everyone has their own journey. It could be the best person, but they might have it could be a little judgment that they have based on people because of how they live their life. And we are just all broken and we just have to trust in God. And that's where it all has to come down. That firm foundation, as you're talking about what we're grounded. And that goes back to how we're grounded. We have to be grounded in scripture. Mm. So that's the biggest thing. There. And again, that's going to go back to being in a good community that is talking about being grounded in scripture and not just being grounded on a podcast or in something that people say or in like a certain person that has mega churches and how they make you feel and stuff, whatever. I'm not coming at anyone, by the way. It's just that these are just things that people can find in certain stuff. And it's just like, you know, it's so interesting what I'm thinking about. This is so sidecar, but like Uno, for instance. Right now, it's a big topic about Uno, how many drawers you put down, how many this. At the end of the day, everyone plays Uno different. The people from Uno will say you can't stack drawers. That's what it says in their quote unquote, the rule book, the law, right? For them, for Uno. But people are going to change it based on their dynamics, where they are, you know? And that's the same way with scripture. We see what it says. But people are going to take it based on their dynamics, based on where they are and how they read it and put it how it is. But basically, we go back to the rule book, there's nothing that is being changed there. Mm. And I think we just have to think about that. We should play Uno, by the way. But
Yeah.
Sounds good. Look, let's wrap things up with just this look at wisdom from the Old Testament. So if we look at Deuteronomy 4, verses 5 and 6, this is Moses as he's kind of wrapping up his life in front of the children of Israel. So, see, I have taught you decrees and laws as the Lord my God commanded me, so that you may follow them in the land you're entering in to take possession. Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations, who will hear about all these decrees and say, surely, this great nation is a wise and understanding people. So, wisdom does two things, right? As we kind of wrap things up here, it actually not only impacts our lives, but it impacts the people that are around us that see us living in a way that is wise. And we know the wisdom comes from scripture, from God. He provides what we need. So the benefit can be that not only does it impact us and our families and those around us, but for the children of Israel, nations were going to be looking at them and saying, they have a great God because they are wise people. So I think that's, as we kind of wrap up this discussion on wisdom, it's like we reflect the God that we love in the way we make decisions, in the way we live our lives.
Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or want to connect with us, find us on Instagram at crossroads_CBC or find us online at cbcnyc.org.